What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself.
Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be real.
I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague, Jeremy Zakas. He is in Australia, in Greater Sydney, observing two pieces of news that come together over Australia, of mice and men. We're going to begin of mice, because when we last spoke with Jeremy, there had been flooding throughout New South Wales, and the flooding was driving snakes and reptiles to high ground, along with millions of mice, very small little gray creatures, millions of them, several weeks ago. Looking back in again at Australian news, the mice are more. They are a river of mice. There are videos which I recommend no one watch because you won't believe it. When doors are open, when lights are flashed into parts of barns, the mice are overrunning in flows. It's as if there's water. Jeremy, a very good day to in Australia. You know this is going on in New South Wales. Why is it worse now than it was 4 weeks ago when we talked about it? And what can be done about this river of mice? Good day to you.
G'day, John. You're right. This is an incredible, incredible disaster on some scale, and it's all caused by mice. And what is happening right now is, earlier, as you mentioned, we spoke about the mice being moved out of their normal habitats because of the floods and moving to more urban areas and really creating a bit of a problem there initially. But what's now happened is those same mice and more mice that are now spurred on by the more rainy weather, the less drought-affected weathers of New South Wales, are now clearly starting to just multiply. That they're breeding, they're growing in numbers, to the point now where Australian farmers and factories in our rural areas are being overrun by literally millions and millions of mice. Now, you mentioned that they look like sea of creatures just flying across the plains. Now, try and imagine if you do go into your house and you turn on your light and all of a sudden all you see across the floor is like a carpet of mice. This is what's being reported. It is literally carpets of mice turning up in people's homes. And some of these homes, while they're in rural areas, they're inside the main town. So we're not just talking about farmland. We're not just talking about some far-off places that are just not populated. These are in rural parts of New South Wales. And if you picture a map, John, and look about 500 kilometres west of Sydney, this is the area we're talking about. So 500 kilometres may sound like a lot, but when you're in a place like Australia where we literally have vast plains and vast land, 500 kilometres is very, very close. And unfortunately, too, the areas that they're starting to get into are areas that have a lot of crops, a lot of cereals, a lot of food that the mice like. So honestly, John, I think we're just pretty much preparing now in the major cities to start seeing mice. There's no getting away from it.
I saw one video of what looked to be a wheat farmer. He was emptying his silo, those long tubes that swing over the rail cars to take the storage wheat from the silos. And he turned it on, but instead of wheat coming out, mice came out, a raining mice.
That's true. It's an incredible sight. I've never seen it myself before until I saw it in the videos, but it's absolutely true. There's no other way to really describe it except if people can just imagine, you know, turning on the pump, turning on what normally would be a wheat pump. That's how they extract the wheat and the grains from the silos. Instead, you've just got literally thousands of mice coming down. And, I mean, it's not good for the farmers, but the farmers' dogs, you may have seen the videos, they're having an absolute ball right now. It's raining mice from heaven for them. But, I mean, as much as we do talk about this in a light sort of way, it is becoming a problem now because the farmers are suffering. The mice are eating the crops. So the Australian government or the New South Wales government and the Queensland government, which is the state just to the north, which is also affected, they're having to plough in about $50 million Australian, so $39 million US, just to arranging poisons for the farmers, allowing basically subsidies for the farmers who are going to lose some of their crops this season, just to try and get on just the mice problem alone.
Of mice and now of men. The U.S. vows to stand by ally Australia against China, reads the ABC headline. U.S. will not leave Australia to China, says Antony Blinken, Secretary of State. Australia will be patient in trying to improve relations with China, says Deputy Prime Minister to CNBC, reported here. Jeremy, I did see a quote sometime in these last days in the Global Times, that's the newspaper in English that's associated with the Chinese Communist Party, talking about using ballistic missiles against Australia. What the heck is going on? Australia sells mining ores and lots of food to China. Why is China threatening Australia?
Yeah, John, this is a complex and interesting story. And so far as we, as Australians, we understand that China is one of our biggest export partners. It's one of our biggest, I guess you could say, sources of income because they do buy so much Australian iron and a lot of other Australian products. Yet now, in the last 2 years in particular, we're seeing this really, really overt rhetoric from China talking about, as you mentioned in the Global Times there, ballistic missiles and talking about Australia as if we are now becoming the enemy of China. So we're seeing Beijing becoming very, very hostile. But we're in, I guess you could say, a quandary in many ways because Australia's economy does rely a lot on Chinese exports and imports to a large extent. But also China relies heavily on our iron and steel and to an extent our coal. So what we're seeing is we're seeing this very strong rhetoric in the media within China getting very, very tough on Australia. But at the same time, yeah, it's still getting the exports, the imports, the economic side, maintaining the status quo to some extent. And in some fact, it's actually increased in the last 12 months. We're actually starting to see a rise in the imports from Australia going to China. But I think, John, really what the problem is here is while we understand a lot of this is just Beijing rhetoric, we understand what the problem is. We understand that China is still pretty much annoyed at us because we supported some of the early on coronavirus inquiries against them. We don't know how far Beijing is going to take it economically. We certainly don't know how far they're going to take it militarily or diplomatically either. So for us in Australia, we're just concerned. We're watching it out, and certainly the government is very much trying to keep on the front foot with this, trying to maintain communication with Beijing, trying to work behind the scenes by the looks of it. But honestly, John, this is new territory. This is something we haven't been through before.
I see that your Prime Minister, Mr. Morrison, is increasing money flowing to the military. You're in the midst of a rebuild, a refashioning your military to conduct operations with the Quad. That would be India, Japan, the United States, and Australia. Is that popular, Jeremy? Because there is the anti-war faction in New Zealand. Is the anti-war faction in Australia speaking out against the Quad?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. And honestly, if you look at the social media response, which is pretty much the best barometer by what any Aussie's thinking on any given day, there's actually a lot of support for this. There's not a lot of support, I think, in the Australian rhetoric for war as such, but the fact that we are defending and preparing for the future, that's actually going over relatively positively. But this is very new. This is something that's very fresh, whether or not there's going to be any kind of, I guess you say, political fatigue over the fact that we're rebuilding our military and turning it into the sort of Pacific Realm type military now. It remains to be seen, but honestly, John, we're not having the same sort of negative response that you see across the pond there in New Zealand. At this time, the Australians are welcoming it.
Welcoming it. Let's mention one other detail. the flights between India and Australia were reported several days ago interrupted because of the pandemic. That's certainly true. Flights from India into Europe and flights from India into the United States. You have a lot of Indian origin citizens and Indian origin visitors, guests working in Australia. Has the virus been seen in Australia? I have not seen reports, but you're fresh in the morning there, a Sunday morning. So have you seen the Indian variant mentioned as it is in London?
I can report right now, John, as of Sunday morning here in Australia, we have not, and I'm absolutely touching wood everywhere I can because this is a very big cause for concern. As you rightly mentioned, India is one of those countries where we do have a lot of workers from. We have a lot of Indian workers, not only in the community, but Australians that do go back to India and then come back to Australia for work. And even where I live, I have a lot of Indian neighbours as well. It's just a big part of the Australian community. But however now, we've had to, as far as the Australian government's concerned and as far as Australia's concerned, had to really clamp down on flights between Australia and India, which is devastating to not only just the workers, but also the Indian families who live here and do want to go back or want to bring their relatives out. So while it is very harsh that we've had to stop the flights, it looks like at the moment, and again, touching wood everywhere I can find, it looks like it is working because we haven't seen that Indian strain yet of coronavirus, but this is at very early days. It's only been a few weeks now since we've been working with this. So hopefully, John, it does stay away from us because Australia, we're still doing very well with coronavirus. We're having very few cases, and it is partly because we're a country that has ocean around it, which helps provide a natural border. But this India problem, John, it is a bit scary.
Jeremy Zakas, my longtime colleague reporting from Sydney, of mice, of men, and of virus. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF, and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be real.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.